Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got Matt Miller on all the time.
Matt Miller.
Here I come. You ready?
Lead NFL and NFL draft analyst at Bleacher Report.
The NFL, you need guys who have upside and potential, and you have to have something that kind of makes you special.
The Stick to Football Podcast.
We ain't got to talk about too much. We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Going through college and NFL film.
You need to be just an MF-er out there where you're going to put this guy on the ground every play.
Matt Miller with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Let's talk some football with Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout. He joins us on the Alpamati Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamati Ford. Hello, Matt Miller.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Wonderful.
All right, you're starting a franchise, and you have to choose either Mitchell Trubisky or Baker Mayfield. Who and why?
Oh, I would take Baker. I mean, even with like me being a diehard Texas fan, and even with like having to deal with the fallout of his mouth a little bit, I would still take Baker. Here's the reason why. I've been around both of these players a good amount. I've never seen a team gravitate toward a quarterback like I've seen a team gravitate toward Baker Mayfield. I saw it at Oklahoma. I saw it at the Senior Bowl. You even saw it at the Combine. Like, people want to follow this guy. He's just a natural-born leader. I know he's struggling a little bit right now, especially with, you know, holding the ball too long or drifting in the pocket. He might be playing behind the worst offensive line in football. I feel like that's more fixable than Mitch just not being able to find open targets right now.
Separate question, but somewhat related. And granted, you've hinted at it a little bit. If you had to start a team with one offensive line, would you start it with the Bears offensive line or the Browns?
I would start with the Bears offensive line. And not to say that like either is fantastic, obviously, but I think the Bears offensive line, like there's at least some dudes there that I really believed in as draft prospects. And it's like, we're just waiting to see. Like, I liked James Daniels a lot. I liked Cody Whitehair a lot as well. I think with Kyle, it's like just a matter of can he, you know, get and stay healthy. But he's obviously very talented. I think where the Bears are, at least in my opinion, where they're the weakest, you know, right tackle, you know, Bobby's done a good job, but obviously you could upgrade there. But, I mean, the Browns offensive line is just absolutely terrible. I mean, they completely mismanaged the left tackle position. I mean, like Greg Robinson is a turnstile.
Yeah.
I like Joel Bitonio, but for the rest of those guys, like Joel Bitonio is the only one that I think for sure would start in Chicago.
So, Matt, Dan was out on holiday yesterday. Anthony Heron, former NFL defensive end, was in, and we were kind of chatting with him a little bit about this idea of the Bears trading for Trent Williams of Washington. Is an offensive line ever a left tackle away? I think that's boiling it down a little bit. You see what the Houston Texans have done. There's only been one game Deshaun Watson's probably ever played for the Texans where he was clean. It was last week. That's it. And you see how good he is. But I don't think it's just Laremy Tunsil that's gotten that line to where it's gotten.
No, that's what I was going to say. It's actually like when they traded for Tunsil, it allowed them to shift guys around. So I think you're the Bears. Like, okay, let's trade for Trent Williams. We're automatically better at left tackle, but are you going to put Charles Leno at right tackle? Are you going to try to kick him inside to replace one of those guards? Like, what are you going to do with him then? So I think, yes, you get an immediate upgrade at the most important position on the offensive line. But I think where Houston saw such a big shift, and where even when Seattle traded for Dwayne Brown, it was a lot like this. It allowed them to reshuffle their front five a little bit and get a better unit out there as opposed to five individual good players. You know, like with the Texans now, guys are finding their homes a little bit with, you know, where they are, I guess their traits are best suited. You know, I look at, like, you know, Titus Howard at right tackle. This has allowed, I think, Nick Martin to play really well with Max Sharping next to him at left guard. Like, that Tunsil Sharping Martin side of the line looks really, really strong for them, which is why we're hopefully going to finally see Deshaun stay clean.
If you're trying to fix what ails the Bears offense right now, and frankly, a lot ails it, they are down near the bottom of this league in offense. They aren't just average. They aren't just lagging behind. They're genuinely bad. What are your priorities here, and in what order are you repairing these things?
Gosh, it is It is tough. I'll admit it. I think about this team a lot because I know I'm going to talk to you guys on the radio every week. And it's like there's no simple fix here. It's not a matter of, well, let's just give David Montgomery the ball more, because I even think when given the ball, he hasn't been as impressive as we all expected him to be. So I do think that the problems start up front. But on the same token, like, I want to see the playmakers getting the ball in space more. Like, I'm so disappointed that we haven't seen that become an element of this offense, because that's what I expected. Coming from Kansas City, I expected Nagy to look at guys like Allen Robinson, to look at Anthony Miller, to look at Tariq Cohen and say, oh my gosh, I have these weapons. Let me scheme up all these beautiful, creative ways to get the ball out in space for no read in the NFL is easy, but for a simple read for a young quarterback who doesn't have to be paralyzed in the backfield. And we haven't seen that. So, I mean, I would love to address the offensive line. I just don't know how you do it at this point, because of even trading for Trent Williams, the Bears don't have a lot of draft capital to just be throwing away for an offensive tackle right now. So that would be my first priority, but I think that's the hardest fix. Secondarily, like, I would get back to basics. Like, I don't know if Matt needs to spend the bye week, like, in the film room, looking at, you know, going back to his roots, looking at Kansas City, looking at Philadelphia, looking at Indianapolis, some of the guys who are running offenses very similar to what his roots are, and trying to, for lack of a better way of saying this, almost Sean McVay this thing a little bit, and just go borrow and steal a little bit your way to a more innovative playbook. And I know you don't want to throw away your playbook midseason, but they got to do something to start getting the ball out to get to those receivers and running backs that are so talented.
Before we get to the college slate, which is actually an interesting one this week, Saints are next after the bye for them. What have you, because I think a lot of Bears fans have maybe missed some of the Saints and Teddy Bridgewater getting to the point he's gotten. How do you see that offense working over the last couple with Teddy in?
I don't know that it's that different, guys. I really don't. I mean, they're still scoring at a very high rate. I think Teddy's getting more comfortable. We saw that last week. Michael Thomas has absolutely just kind of taken over since Breeze went down. So I think that's the key. Is like, you know how they're going to beat you. You know they're going to get the ball to Alvin Kamara a ton, you know, as a receiver, out of the backfield, as a runner. But then just how do you stop Michael Thomas? Because that's it. That's their offense. It's Alvin Kamara. It's Michael Thomas. They don't have a number two receiver. They don't have a tight end that you're really going to worry about that much in Jared Cook. And so even though you know that, and you know that, like, Teddy's not throwing the ball down the field, Mike is such a great route runner, and he's so physical and big that he's going to run slants all day, and then he's going to beat you because he's just so good at it that they are predictable, but they're very, very impactful, and their defense has played well. You know, they've really stepped up defensively, I think, the last couple weeks to where, you know, we're now seeing guys like Marcus Davenport start to live up a little bit to what we saw from him. And I know, like, Tampa put up, I think, 24 on him a couple weeks ago, but you went to the Dallas game, they held Dallas 10 points, and that was kind of the tipping point for that Cowboys offense that had been just red hot to start the year.
And the Cowboys defense was weird. It's very strange to see Leighton Vander Esch on his heels like that. It seemed like there was some blocking going on at the second level where the Cowboys, the middle of their defense, that level of their defense, just for lack of a better term, seemed uncharacteristically soft.
Yeah, and lost a little bit. I think that you got those guys thinking instead of reacting, which is what Vander Esch is so good at, because he's such a good athlete, and he can really beat you in three phases of the game, stopping the run, getting after the quarterback, and then dropping in coverage. It's like they just got them stepping, you know, enough. And I think we saw that, you know, we've seen that actually a lot lately. We saw it in the 49ers-Browns game, where it feels like if you can get linebackers just taking a false step, and then you come back across them, whether it's with a George Kittle or with an Alvin Kamara or Michael Thomas, like that's a really good way to beat linebackers right now.
So the Niners, the Colts in their victory over the Chiefs, and what the Raiders did to the Bears, what Dalvin Cook had been doing to everybody but the Bears, are we starting to see the beginnings of a trend, of an evolutionary trend against some of these incredibly fast upfield defenses to get back to just pounding away at the run game a little bit? And if so, how does that affect scouting?
No, I think we've been waiting for this for a long time. I've been talking about it for like 4 years, and I know I'm not the first person, and I'm not alone to say that, okay, well, I want to see more eye formation. I want to see more motion out of the backfield because, yeah, Dan, like if you're going to put a 220-pound middle linebacker on the field, I'm going to put a 240-pound fullback in the backfield and a running back who can run a 4-3 behind him. and we're just going to smash the ball down your throat all day. So I think it's easy to say, like, this is how we will counter these smaller defenses, or, you know, when everyone goes nickel the majority of the time or a big dime the majority of the time, let's just overpower them a little bit. I think that's beautiful in theory. The problem is, you know, if you fall behind, you know, we haven't really seen the 49ers play from behind this year. We really haven't seen the 49ers play anyone this year. And I say that as someone who grew up a 49ers fan. So I don't know that we can say yet, like, okay, everyone go sign a fullback, because the Niners do it because Kittle and Juice are probably the two best blockers at their positions, but they're also versatile enough that they can catch the ball out of the backfield. You know, I think Kittle is the best tight end in the NFL right now, and it's what he does as a blocker, what he does as a route runner, as a receiver. You can put him basically anywhere, but you can't overlook, and now that he's hurt, we're going to see this show up a lot. Now that Juice is out, like, he is the cog that makes that wheel turn, because he's a great blocker. He's excellent on the move. He catches the ball really well. So they're able to do a lot of play action stuff with those two guys because of what they set up as blockers. I don't know. And we're going to learn a lot about the Niners with all the injuries they have. McGlinchey's out, Juice is out. Like, they're banged up, and they have to go to the Rams this week. So it's like we live in this week-to-week bubble in the NFL of, oh my God, I want to overreact to everything that just happened. You know, the Chiefs suck because the Colts beat them, and this is the NFL we live in. But we're going to live in that league for a couple of days, because there's too much parity and there's too many injuries right now.
I'd like to find the next Quentin Nelson, too. Well, oh, you God, mentioned yeah. McGlinchey, but his former
college. Sorry.
I mean, when is the last time we've seen this dominant a guard? You have to game plan against a guard because of what he's doing to initiate things. He's eating people.
Yeah, I missed a lot of Steve Hutchinson's career. I mean, I watched as a fan, but, you know, he kind of got out when I got in. I would imagine that Steve Hutchinson was kind of like this, but, you know, there wasn't Twitter, and you couldn't put, like, sound bites on Instagram. Right. And
John Hanna? Do we have to go back to John Hanna? I mean,
if so, you're going to go there alone, because I don't – I think he got out before I was born. So, but yeah, I mean, I can't remember a guard. You know, there's been some good guards in the NFL, but no one like this. And I think I was at the Chiefs-Colts game. The fact that Chris Jones – and Frank Clark were just completely shut down in this game. And then the linebackers, I mean, the poor Chiefs linebackers just had no answer for Marlon Mack's agility. So, you know, like, that's a good blueprint. Yeah, like, let's build a powerful offensive line and have a running back who is really good at second-level cuts. Like, that's again, it's hard to do. There's been one Quentin Nelson in the last 20 years, so good luck.
The college football slate has all sorts of pageantry with the Red River Showdown this weekend. I'm fascinated by the game. It's one of my favorite college football games of the year. What, though, is there a comp for Jalen? I mean, he may well win the Heisman, but is there a comp for an NFL prospect the way Jalen Hurts may or may not end up being an NFL prospect when we get to the draft?
I don't think so, and I'll actually be in Dallas for this one. I don't know that Jalen Hurts has a clean comp. There are times I watch him, and I'm like, God, if Dak ran, that's kind of what Dak would look like. You know, it's like the arm motion, and he doesn't have the biggest arm, but he's accurate. He sees the field well, but Jalen is a much better runner than Dak was in college. So I don't know that there's like a great comp for him. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world either. It's special what he's able to do. And like I guess the analyst in me keeps going back to this of like, okay, with Baker, Kyler, and now Jalen Hurts, they all look absolutely flawless as quarterback prospects, but we really haven't seen Baker. Baker has regressed. Kyler Murray is just getting, you know, beat to hell behind that offensive line, which I think some of it is scheme, some of it's him, some of it's the offensive line. But I'm still a little cautious of Oklahoma quarterbacks. And I know that we just had two go first overall back-to-back and then won Heisman trophies back-to-back. I still want to see a little more proof. And, you know, you got to wait, you know, 35 or 40 games into a guy's career to really have a lot of proof. But I'm still finding myself being hesitant to, like, jump all over Jalen Hurts, because – I think especially now it's like, okay, we've kind of seen this before, and how much of this is you as a player and how much of this is this beautiful, perfect scheme that Lincoln Riley has drawn up? And maybe it is a little bit of both. Well, Jalen Hurts deserves a ton of credit.
So has Lincoln Riley, or I shouldn't just put it in one on one school and one system, has college football gotten to a point where pro scouts are more willing to look at a throwing motion, just the actual throwing motion, a guy's mechanics, and go, could work?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think right now there's such a lack of good quarterback play that we're willing to overlook a lot. You know, I mean, it used to be you had to be 6'2". Now it's like, you know, 5'10 will get it done. You know, and you had to be a 3-year starter. Now you be a 1-year starter. Mitch Trubisky, Kyler Murray, like it really doesn't matter. Okay. And it used to be if you play in anything even close to an air raid, you just got ignored. But I would say, you know, Jared Goff was playing in a system that was at a lot of air raid elements. He went first overall. Baker went first overall. Kyler went first overall. So I think there's just such a want for quarterbacks right now. You know, look, Patrick Mahomes, who was not in kind of an air raid. He was in an air raid offense at Texas Tech. It is the same offense that Cliff Kingsbury's running in Arizona right now. And while he wasn't the first pick, and you could make a very good argument he's the best quarterback in football right now. So I think when you see things like that, and when you realize that, you know, the guys coming out of the pro-style schools just aren't producing as well, or when you see Nick Saban willing to change his offense, I think a lot of people are going to say, well, maybe this could work. I don't think any NFL team is going to go hire Mike Leach tomorrow to try to, you know, really crack this thing open. But
don't tease me.
Oh, I know. How awesome would that be, though?
God. We all want quarterbacks, though. So you're looking under different rocks than you used to.
Telling you, man, Colt Brennan just got born 10 years too early.
Hey,
I agree. Oh, my God, yeah.
You mentioned the Red River Showdown for Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know that I have ever seen worse tackling in my life from a single college football team than the Texas Longhorns.
Thanks, Dan.
You know what? It doesn't. I don't know. At some point, it has to matter. At some point, my football sensibilities are being messed with here because yeah, I always thought you had to tackle people.
You know, I texted my brother who works with me, and we did the podcast together. I texted him last week and was like, "Do you think Texas practices tackling?" He was like, "I don't know if they do, but I can guarantee you they don't practice tackling with their heads up because." You watch a Texas player tackle. They're staring at the ground. I don't know what this technique is, but it doesn't work. And it's like I scream and cuss at Todd Orlando every Saturday, and nothing changes. But they keep winning games. So I would take the over this weekend. I think it's 75. I would go ahead and crush that over in the Red River game.
Matt, appreciate you. Great talking with you. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.